Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, we're going to take up part two of a message that we started a couple of weeks ago about the importance of Israel and standing with Israel. And as most of you know, Israel is engaged in a battle, and the Palestinian, the Hamas terrorists, have been lobbing rockets, 2,500 up to this point, 2,500 rockets lobbed into Israel. And I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the Lord is watching over Israel, and you may not, from the mainstream media, understand the nature and the extent of the conflict and where you should stand in regards to Israel. There are many, many people who are coming out and speaking against Israel in these days, and this is all a sign of the end times. This is all a sign of end time prophecy, that all of the nations shall come against Israel, that many, many who don't understand the nature of the conflict, and many will side on the side of the terrorists. I even heard on the radio the other day that an important politician, or she thinks she's important, had stated that Hamas is a humanitarian organization, an organization that we know has in their charter to destroy Israel and to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and does not recognize Israel's right to exist here on this earth. And this politician declared that Hamas, the enemy of Israel, the sworn enemy who has sworn to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, has declared that Hamas is a humanitarian organization. And so I just want you to understand, brother and sister, you cannot rely on mainstream media. You cannot rely on certain politicians that you think know what they're talking about. And it's certainly not possible to rely on mainstream media, because it will be in the last days very slanted against not only God's people and against Israel and against the Jews, but the mainstream media, if you haven't figured it out yet, will be very slanted and biased against Christians. It will be very, very difficult to tune in to any kind of mainstream media outlet and get the news and the truth of what is really going on. There is one station or one media outlet out there that I trust that still speaks the truth. I think you know what that one is, and so I would suggest you tune in to that one, and you will hear the truth there. But I want you to know that in the end days, a sign of the end times is that all the nations of the earth will come against Israel. A sign of the end times is that all of the people will point to the Jews, that is, of those who don't understand what is going on, those that don't understand that Jesus Christ is their Lord and understand the words of His Scripture, of the Word of God, that don't understand, that all the people will be speaking against the Jews, and that when all calamity breaks loose and there is chaos and mayhem and destruction on every front, that the people will point to the Jews, just as they always have down through history. The people will point to them and they will say, it is because of you this is happening. It is because of you that there's outbreak of war in every sector of the Middle East. It is because of you that the economy is trashing and the economy is collapsing. It is because of you, you, you. And we have seen this as a pattern against God's people all through history. It started way back when, well, it started even before Herod and Pharaoh. It started when the enemy came against Eve and Adam in the garden, and the enemy lied to Eve and got her to take the fruit of good and evil, the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. And so that's when the fallen world was kicked into gear, kicked into place. And so we know that all of these prophetic signs about Israel will come to pass, just as every prophetic sign about Jesus has up to this point come to pass. It has been literally fulfilled, and all of the prophetic words spoken in God's word will also be literally fulfilled as we see the end times unfold and play out. And I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you've not read the Old Testament, if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, don't just rely on what I'm saying to you today. Don't just try to get a little tip of the iceberg of knowledge of the Old Testament and the prophetic passages. But go to your Bible, pick up your Bible, read the book of Daniel, read the book of Revelation, and see how Daniel and Revelation dovetail with each other, and read the book of Zechariah, read the book of Jeremiah, read the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah. And as you read these prophetic books and see these passages of Scripture with your own eyes and see then what is happening in the world today and the nations of the earth, even those who have stood with Israel in the past now are starting to betray Israel, and Israel is alone, just as the prophetic passages say that they would be. And so even more and more than ever before, we're seeing the words of the Scripture come to pass right before our very eyes. Well, we studied a bit in the Standing with Israel message a couple of weeks ago that on the same day in Genesis 15:18, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Well, you notice in that passage of Scripture in Genesis 15, when the Lord was speaking to Abram, he used the word everlasting several times. He said, "I will give you this land as an everlasting covenant. I will give it to your descendants and all their generations, and to all the generations after you, and I will give this land as an everlasting possession." Well, the miraculous thing, brothers and sisters, as you think about the history of Israel, it is impossible to consider Israel as a nation without considering the regathering of Israel in 1948. From the far corners of the earth, God brought the remnant of his people back to that land. He brought them back out of the ashes of the Holocaust, out of persecution and trial and tribulation in Russia and in other countries around the world. And he established them on their land, on that piece of land that he had promised to Abram as an everlasting possession and an everlasting covenant. And he established them on that land in spite of great opposition from countries all over the world, bring them to their land. He brought them there and he established them, and it was a barren piece of land, a piece of desert, not much bigger than 100 miles by 300 on the shores of the Mediterranean. And he brought them there, and he regathered them, and he gave them back their language, and he gave them back their land, that they would be a nation for the end time battle and the second coming of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. So I'm going to read some scripture now to familiarize you with some of the prophetic passages of the Old Testament. And again, I pray that you would dig out your Bibles and go to the book of Zechariah, go to the book of Daniel, read some of the old time scriptures from the Old Testament. And I'm just going to highlight some of these. The book of Zechariah is especially rich. And Zechariah 8:1, it tells us here that the Lord will bring back the remnant to the land, and he will prosper them. Zechariah 8:1, again the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." Well, we know that the Lord did that in 1948. He brought them back, and not only did he establish them on the land, but he has blessed them so that their land is prosperous. He has blessed them that their land is fruitful. Many of you probably know that Israel exports a great deal of agricultural products all over Europe and all over the Middle East and to Africa. You find Israel fruits and vegetables and garden seeds. Even here in America, some of the organic farmers are using garden seeds and truck crop seeds that come from Israel. And so God has taken that barren, sparse piece of land, and he has prospered it. He has prospered the people, not only to grow food, but he has prospered them in technology. He has prospered them in science. If you'll check out the number of Nobel Prize winners in science and technology and physics and chemistry, you will find that many, many of the Nobel Prize winners over the years have been from Israel. An extreme, disproportionate number have been from Israel. And so God has blessed them. He's brought them back. He's blessed them. And he has watched over them in spite of many times their neighbors have tried to destroy them, and the nations surrounding Israel have spoken curses against them and come against them in different types of war. And so God has kept them. He's watched over them, and he is watching over them today, even in this current battle that is going on with Hamas and Hezbollah. He is watching over them. He is keeping his children, and he will not slumber, and he will not sleep. Well, Zechariah 8:11, God says he's going to make Israel a blessing. He says, "But I will not treat the remnant of the people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed of peace shall be prosperous. The vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of the people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among all the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, let your hands be strong." And so God has blessed Israel. They're our greatest ally, maybe in the whole world outside of England. They're our greatest ally. They're the only democracy that sits in all of those Muslim nations in the Middle East. They're a beacon of light. They're a beacon of truth and righteousness. They're a beacon of compassion. Even in this war, they're treating the Palestinians and the people of the Hamas terrorist group, they're treating them in field hospitals being set up right at the border. They're actually treating their enemy with the finest of medical care as the people are injured in these rocket attacks, simply because Hamas is shielding their weaponry and shielding their fighters amongst women and children and in hospitals and schools and mosques. And so there will be civilian casualties. There will be collateral damage, but Hamas doesn't fight like normal soldiers. They don't fight like people who stand up and go to battle with an enemy. They hide themselves among the children. They hide themselves among the women and in the schools and in the mosques. And so there will be collateral damage. But the Lord says that I will prosper Israel. I'm going to make Israel a blessing. Zechariah 12:2, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will be cut to pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it." In that day, verse 8 in Zechariah 12, "In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them." And so God gives fair warning to those who would come against Jerusalem. He gives fair warning to those nations who would line up against Israel. And I would tell you, brothers and sisters, that it saddens me a great deal to see this nation, the United States of America, the one who was so instrumental in helping to bring the nation of Israel to come to pass in 1948. It saddens me a great deal to see the policies of this nation coming against Israel, to try to counsel Israel not to defend itself, to not give Israel the allowance or the right and the authority to defend themselves against rocket attack and to defend themselves against terrorist attack. And I just pray for this nation. I pray for what is coming against this nation. because in Genesis 12:3, the Lord spoke to Abram, and he says, I'm going to make you a great nation, and those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. And so we know that the Lord has a blessing for those who bless Israel. We know that the Lord has a cursing for those who curse Israel. And I would just pray, brothers and sisters, that you pray for Israel, that you pray for this nation, that this nation would not be tricked and not be deceived by the enemy into thinking to come against Israel or to come against the side of the terrorists, those who would destroy Israel, that somehow there's going to be peace, that somehow there's going to be safety, that somehow there's going to be a blessing for the United States in coming against Israel. I say to you that it is not true. I say to you, read your Bible, and you will find out that that is not true, that there will not be a blessing for the United States. And the more we come against Israel, the more we stand against Israel, the more the curses and the difficulties and the trials and tribulations are going to come against this nation. Well, in Zechariah 14:1, the Lord speaks of the final end days battle, and he says, behold, the day is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. And then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, speaking about Jesus Christ, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west. And verse 5, thus the Lord God will come and all the saints with you. Well, that's speaking of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He's coming back. He's not coming back to Kansas. He's not coming back to Texas or Florida. He's coming back to Jerusalem, and he will plant his feet, one on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two, and there will be a split in the land, and you can read all about that in Zechariah 14, verse 4. And then in verse 11, it says, the people shall dwell in Jerusalem, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Well, that's in the end day. We don't know when that day is going to be. Only the Father himself knows when that day is going to be. It is not for the Son to know. It is not for you and I to know times and seasons or specific dates. But we can see the signs as they unfold right before our very eyes. Just as we know the signs of the weather, we can see the signs that are unfolding that speak to the end time battles and the end time and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so I just ask you, brother and sister, are you ready? Just as we see the headlines each and every day, we read the headlines so we can know what is happening in the world. I ask you today, are you ready? Do you know the signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ? Do you know the signs of what his coming will be? Well, there's going to be many more battles, and the Lord speaks in Zechariah 14, verse 12, about those who come against Jerusalem, for those who fight against Jerusalem, in verse 12. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongue shall dissolve in their mouths. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And so God has laid out his plans. His word is truth, and every single prophecy of the Old Testament that has been spoken concerning his son Jesus and concerning Israel up to this point, every single prophecy has been literally and 100% fulfilled. And now we know that the end time prophecies will also be literally and 100% fulfilled. Well, again, I ask you, where do you stand with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You may not be concerned about Israel at this point in your life. You may not even have any understanding or any desire to know anything about current events or anything that's going on in the world. That may be okay for you, but as a preacher of the gospel, I have to speak about what God says in his word, what God says to us, and he says to us, be ready, be prepared. My son could come back at any time. I could send my son to gather up the church at any time, to gather up the saved. And so I say to you today, are you ready? If Jesus came back, would you repent or would you rejoice? Would you be ready or would you run? If Jesus came back today, would you shout for victory and shout hallelujah and glory to God? Or would you say, oh no, oh no, and run the other way in fear and in terror as you know that you're not ready for the coming of the Lord? Well, you can change that situation today. You can get ready, get down on your knees, repent of your sins, confess your sins, turn from your wicked ways, ask the Lord to save you, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, ask the Lord to take up a dwelling place in your heart, and as you do that, He will be faithful and true. He knows your heart. He knows every detail of your life, and He will be faithful and true to set you aside, to save you, and follow that up with Christian baptism, and as you do that, Jesus will be faithful and true to come and dwell in you with the Holy Spirit of God, which will set up a dwelling place inside of you. Well, if you make any kind of decision today, just let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I would like for you to be in heaven with me. I would like for you to be cleansed and redeemed and set aside for all eternity. And I pray that as you do that, that you would let me know, let me share in the joy of your decision, and I'll get some material out to you to start you on your Christian walk. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.